shoving people around.
Fields, oh, what a move. The move past Nixon. And Justin Fields ahead of the field and gone. What a run.
Eagles on the season are decent on fourth down. Hurts back again. He's floating it for Devontae Smith, who makes the catch. The Giants miss, and he walks into the end zone.
Oh,
the Giants gambled, and Hurts went 41 yards for the touchdown, beating Darnay Holmes, came up, flat out missed him, and trotting into the end zone was Devontae Smith.
All right, well, there you have two great plays last weekend by two great young quarterbacks. Justin Fields going 55 yards against the Packers, followed by Jalen Hurts' 41-yard touchdown pass to Devontae Smith against the Giants. By the way, this hour is sponsored by Meridian Bank, regional presence, community touch. Meridian Bank, innovative business banking for entrepreneurial success. All right. Excited to be joined here, Mike, by, old friend of mine, now a big timer at CBS in Chicago, our pal Marshall Harris. Marshall.
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing? It's great to join y'all on a beautiful Saturday morning. I hope it's more beautiful there than it is here. It's very great. Very good here.
Well, you know.
It's sunny here, Marsh. Got to be honest. It's a little
75 degrees, sunny, Marsh. You don't know what you left, you know.
Oh, man. When I was there, it was raining the whole time. I took a 5 a.m. flight this morning to get back to Chicago from Philly.
I know, and I'm sorry that I missed you here. One of these days we will catch up. One of us has to owe the other dinner at this point. I don't know. But let us start with what we just played. And I want you, as a guy who has watched both of these two quarterbacks closely, and now you're based in Chicago, you get to see Justin Fields every week. Compare and contrast, if you would, these two guys in terms of just kind of bottom line what you see in both of them now and in terms of their promise.
Listen, I think Jalen Hurts has reached his promise. I know, you know, if you go back to the start maybe of last year, even the middle of last year, people were like, I don't know if this is the guy for the Eagles. I don't know. It's amazing what happens when you get him surrounded by, you know, premium talent, and you wait until year three to truly evaluate what this man has developed into. And the irony is, if you look at a lot of his second-year numbers from last year, and you look at what Justin Fields is doing now in his second year, it's highly comparable. I mean, you talk about compare and contrast. I'll say they're more alike than they are dissimilar. And I think Bears fans are very hopeful because they feel like they found their quarterback of the future. And now it's just a matter of going out and surrounding him with an A.J. Brown type and some other weapons like Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert. Although I think they have the tight end in Cole Kmet, local guy, who's come on strong here of late before the bye. Offensively, they've got it figured out. And I think with those two quarterbacks, it's a blueprint Jalen Hurts is for Bears fans to get excited about when they look at Justin Fields, a guy who I'm going to say is more explosive than Jalen Hurts with his legs, but Jalen Hurts doesn't really need to use his legs in the same way that Justin Fields does, because Justin Fields a lot of times is literally running for his life.
So, Marshall, you kind of rolled right into the question that I wanted to ask you, which is, the system that the Bears are playing, we spent a lot of time on this show today and for days here in Philly, as you know, talking about is it Hurts or is it the system. Are the Bears playing a similar system to the one that the Eagles are using with Hurts? Is it the exact same system? You know, what are Matt Eberflus and his offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy, kind of doing there to ease Fields into becoming the quarterback that they think he can be?
I think Luke Getsy has done some promising things, specifically with the run game. I mean, you go back to the start of the season, and it was like, okay, last year when they had Matt Nagy, who was probably doing more similar things to what, you know, Nick Sirianni was doing, if you look at the track record and, you know, how those guys bring along their quarterbacks. I mean, Getsy was with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay last year, and now he's kind of, you know, overhauled the system here in Chicago, but they've done a good job of, as the weeks have gone on, tailoring it more to the strengths of Justin Fields and really away from the weaknesses of having, you know, a so-so offensive line. Although the offensive line has improved a lot this year. They got a rookie, a fifth rounder that people are like, you're going to start this guy at tackle in the NFL, coming from an FCS school in Braxton Jones. So he's got a lot better protection for him, and specifically run blocking. I mean, you guys know the Eagles, a great running team. The Bears leading the NFL in team rushing, but they're so far behind in passing. And a lot of that, though, has to do with weapons or lack thereof. I mean, you guys aren't going to see Chase Claypool this week, who they traded a second rounder for midseason to try to get him some help.
Mm-hmm.
Darnell Mooney, his best receiver, out for the season. You look at kind of it's just real. It's real skimpy right now in terms of guys to throw to. It reminds me of the Eagles a few years ago when you're like, before they got Devontae Smith, like, who is the guy that, you know, any given quarterback can throw to? And they didn't have guys. And when you don't have guys that can get open consistently, your quarterback's not going to look as good.
Marshall Harris is with us, former colleague here at WIP, big timer at NBC 10. Now he's with CBS in Chicago. So when I look at the other side of the ball, Marshall, the Bears defense.
Oh my goodness! Don't
yeah,
look.
I'm trying to.
It might turn to stone. It might be looking like looking at Medusa right in the face.
Yeah. Okay. So their running defense has allowed 21 running touchdowns. By the way, the Eagles lead the league in touchdowns, running touchdowns scored. They give up 4.7 yards a carry. They have the worst pass rush in the NFL. Their defensive line is just bad. Their two cornerbacks are rated, the passer rating against them is 98.8 and 110.1. So the question is always like, okay, so how do the Eagles attack him? Marshall, is the answer however they feel like it?
I would say yes. Here's the thing I'm going to say. They have a rookie safety and a rookie cornerback, Jaquan Brisker and Kyler Gordon, who have gotten better over the course of the year, as rookies are wont to do, because they looked awful. Like, they played the Packers back in week two, right? And they were just getting torched. Kyler Gordon, the cornerback, that's a rookie, was getting torched by Aaron Rodgers. He was doing whatever he wanted to him, close to a near-perfect passer rating against him when targeting him specifically. But both those guys have gotten better. Now, here's the rub. They're coming off a bye week. Before the bye week, both those rookies were out in the concussion protocol for 2 weeks, but they had been showing great improvement leading up until that concussion protocol thing. Now that the Bears have had the bye week, which I'm just going to advocate one more time, the NFL, stop putting a team's bye week in week 14. That is insane.
Well,
that is criminal.
You know what? When they expect you to be bad, they put it at the edges. Yep.
Yeah, well, I mean, whatever. I just don't think any team, that's not even a Bears thing, that's just any team, that's way too late for a bye week. And Justin Fields had gotten to the point where he said, my legs are heavy, and he needed a break, and he was saying this as he was breaking off, you know, 50-yard touchdown runs. But I think the Bears will be rejuvenated. I think the young guys on defense, you know, they're, as you guys know, they traded Roquan Smith to the Ravens. They traded Robert Quinn, who I know how that deal is working out for Eagles fans. I think they're going to be better. People are looking at this defense as a porous defense. It is. But they have young players who are hungry, who want to win. They've lost six in a row. They've lost nine of the last 10. You don't really want your franchise quarterback to end the season on a 10-game losing streak. They've been so close in so many games. The defense has been bad, but that offense has kept them right there. They've had, in their 10 losses, right, they had a chance to win seven of those games in the last 2 to 3 minutes, and they've just come up short. Fields has yet to author a game-winning drive. You can go back. I'm sure you guys saw the I think it was the Thursday night game against the Washington Commanders where they had Darnell Mooney on the goal line and he just couldn't hold on, and that would have been a game-winning touchdown. They just haven't done it, but he doesn't really have the weapons to just drop back and pass like that. So in, you know, a two-minute situation, he isn't able to get it done like that. But guys are getting better. I'm really disappointed Chase Claypool's not playing because he had started to come on strong right before the bye as well. So, look, to answer your question about the defense, maybe it is however you feel like you want, but I think the Eagles can't get cocky here because the Bears are going to score points. I'm not saying that they're going to outscore the Eagles if the Eagles are perfect. I mean, if both teams play well, obviously the Eagles are a better team. But if the Eagles make mistakes akin to that Commanders game that they lost, I'm telling you, the Bears will be right there ready to take advantage of it. That's why I picked the Bears to win the game.
What?
Wow.
What? Why, we buried the lead, Mike.
Yeah, jeez, Marshall.
Well, no, I got them winning 31-30 because I think this is a perfect example of a trap game between two division opponents. You're going on the road to face a Bears team that, like I said, is getting better. Offensively, they're good. They're not as good as the Eagles, who, you know, putting up 40-plus points a game over the last three. But they can score with anyone. The Dolphins had them dead to rights, and they came back and almost won. That's one of those games they had a chance to win at the end of the game. Because Matt Eberflus is good at making halftime adjustments. He's a defensive-minded coach. you know, spent the last 3 years. You know, he had some time with Nick Sirianni. Their offices next to each other when they were both coordinators for the Colts. So I think that the Bears are going to be in a position. This is not going to be the blowout that people are, yo, is it still 9 points? Because if it's still 9 points, I'm taking the Bears all day long.
Okay. I'm curious how a team that's dead last in the NFL in passing yards per game is going to hang with the Eagles and score with the Eagles. But be that as it may, you mentioned Robert Quinn and his performance here with the Eagles, which has not been good, and he's injured and out. I'm just curious because Howie Roseman made moves. You know, Quinn was the first in a succession of moves that Howie made to kind of increase the depth along the defensive line. You know, Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh, and those two guys have been okay. What did you see from Quinn before the Eagles got him? And, you know, it sounds like you kind of expected this drop-off, if not this season, certainly once the Bears traded him away.
I mean, he's on the wrong side of 30, and he's a guy who doesn't have – he's not one to put together back-to-back, like, exceptional seasons. He had a great season last year, but the Bears had better parts around him. I was curious to see if his play picked up once he got to Philadelphia because he wasn't doing anything. Really, in Chicago. He hadn't done anything. But you say that about anybody who was part of the front four for the Bears. I mean, they, as you mentioned, worst pass rush in all of football. That's how Aaron Rodgers, with a broken thumb and whatever else, was able to pick them apart, even though they scored, even though they only threw for 172 yards against the Bears in that win. They won the turnover battle 3-0. I was like, they get no pressure up front. And at first I was like, is it Quinn? Or is it just the whole front four? It's the whole front four, but that's why I thought maybe Quinn would do more. I mean, the guy's coming off a year where he broke the franchise record for sacks this season. And he didn't show any glimpses of that before he got traded. So I was like, if you're Ryan Poles and you really want to just, you know, clear cap space, everything else, just trade everybody and get as many assets as you can. They're doing the right thing, and it's come alongside the development of Justin Fields. It hasn't really stopped his development. And that was the goal the whole time. So I think the Bears are great, doing a great job.
Before we go, first of all, I want to praise you effusively, Marshall Harris, because I saw a thing that you did with former Eagle Clay Harbor and former Eagle tight end Trey Burton. Actually, one of my favorite people, Trey Burton.
He's great.
In it, the issue of who's got better food, that they're both out in Chicago now, as are you. Who's got better food? What's a better food city, Chicago or Philly? You stuck up for Philly. And I will say, you and I had many of those meals together. Do you know only time I ever got in trouble with WIP was...
I do.
So, Mike, I did these food hunts for
years. Sure, I know.
And we did the tacos 1 year, and Marshall and I went out one day. What did we go to, like 5 or 6 places that day, Mark? We housed it.
Yeah, we tore it up.
And there was one place that was a little pricey, but really good. So Marshall and I kept saying, like, you know what? We better try the shrimp taco. Yeah, you know what? Let's try the pork taco. And we ran up a bit of a bill. And the station was very nice. They always gave me an expense account for that. That was the time where Spike Eskin called me up. He said, man, what are you doing? It's a little hefty. But Marshall, it was worth it.
Was there a case of Corona in there, too?
There might have been a beer.
And there might have been a beer, but like the tacos were really good. I think we had some short rib tacos or maybe salmon tacos.
Oh yeah,
It was like the best protein you can put in a taco, and they figured out how to make it, and we were like, okay, we'll see what you're talking about, and it was great. And
those are fun times.
You and WIP for that experience, and I will always stick up for Philly because I've lived a bunch of places, been a bunch of places. I think Philadelphia is the most underrated food city in America, and every time I come back, I have great meals.
But, well, yep. Marshall, as long as you are standing up for Philadelphia pizza against that swimming pool of sauce that Chicago calls deep dish pizza, you're all right in my book.
Mike, calm down. Here's what I will tell you. Anyone in Chicago will tell you this. The deep dish thing isn't the thing. People in Chicago, it's all about the tavern cut.
Ah.
You come here, you get the tavern cut.
Yeah,
you're not
yeah.
getting sucked into the deep dish casserole pizza. No, that's not good. I do not like it.
Okay.
There you go. Good. Marshall, it's a pleasure, man.
All right. I'll see
Next
you
time
guys,
you're coming back, let me know. All right?
Yes, I will text you, Glenn. Mike,
right,
great to catch up, man.
Yeah, I'll see you tomorrow if you're at the game.
I will not be at the game.
Well, then I won't see you tomorrow. The hell with you.
I'm sorry.
All right, man. Be well. There you go.
See you,
Marshall.